Second hour, Darren Donican Chase here on this Friday, and this beautiful day here in Nashville, Tennessee. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. Let's bring in former kicker. Now he's a part of CBS's broadcast team. He was doing the Titans game in the booth on Tuesday night when the Titans took on the Buffalo Bills at Nissan Stadium, and he'll be back here in our fine city again this week. He'll be a part of the broadcast for the Titans and the Texans. Greg Gumbel and Rich Gannon also, they'll be in the booth, and Jay will be working the sidelines for this game. He now joins us, Jay Feely on the line. Jay, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. How are you liking this role? We talked about it on Wednesday, and one, we talked a lot about the game and the wow, I can't believe the Titans just did that to Buffalo, considering all the circumstances. But two, we brought up your guys' work. We've sometimes get kind of the same crews, I feel like, for Titans games, and it was refreshing to see some new voices and some new faces. And how are you liking this role, CBS?
Well, you know, it's been a lot of fun. This is actually my sixth year doing games with them. So it's been a while. I did college games for the first 4 years and did some NFL, mostly on the sidelines. And then, you know, last year we kind of created a role where, all right, I'll be on the sidelines and be an analyst on the sidelines, and then I'll be up in the booth for, you know, the games when we get six or seven games on CBS. So it's fun. I really enjoy it. I like being in the meetings. You know, unfortunately this year we only get to do the Zoom calls, so it's a little different. It's not quite as good. But when you get to sit in there with coaches, coordinators, you get to walk through different ways that people create culture, different ways that coaches believe in going about trying to create the best game plans. You know, it's just fascinating to me.
Yeah, and you guys talked about that a lot during the broadcast, and I always think that is interesting, you know, what a coach or players will tell you. Kind of you get to learn a little bit more about the dynamic in the room, which you understand. And I thought it was interesting you talking about Koskowski's, you know, struggles early on, and boy, it was horrific struggles in that first game. And we sat here the next day, even after a win over the Broncos, going, holy crap, we're going to go through this again, the kicking woes with this team. They were able to overcome it last year and get to the AFC Championship game, and they never even attempted field goals, and this is what it's going to be this year. But just talk about that mentality. You lived life in the NFL in that world, and how he bounced back and where he is today with the Titans.
Well, first, I was shocked that he had as bad a game as he had, because he's never had a game like that in his career. You know, you always have some bad games, but he's never had a really bad game. Most kickers have. You know, and Steven's been one of the best kickers literally in the history of the NFL. He's top five maybe in the history of kickers in the NFL when you look at his body of work and what he's done, big games, kicking in Super Bowls, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, so I wasn't the least bit surprised that he was able to overcome it, that it didn't deter him, that he was able to fix it, you know, because this is a guy who has kicked at an incredibly high level, almost 90% for his career. And he went through a surgery last year. He didn't get to finish his season. He comes back. He's here for 1 week. Has no preseason games, isn't able to actually go out and kick in a game after having, you know, big hip surgery. And he goes out and he struggles, you know, and that's, it wasn't surprising that he struggled. It was surprising that he struggled as bad as he did, but I wasn't surprised at all that he's able to overcome it and continue to kick as well as he has since that game.
I did tell a story on Wednesday, and you'll never remember this conversation, but I did. I was out in Glendale, Arizona, covering the Super Bowl in 07. It was the Patriots and the Giants, and I'm working Radio Row out there, and I just happened to run into you. I think you were working Radio Row that day. I don't remember if you were, you know, you were hawking a product or what you were doing, but you were nice enough to sit down with me, and we had a great conversation. And at the time, you were in the 06 season, you were kicking for the Giants, and I brought up that Giants game here in Nashville where you guys were up 21-0, and we had a good time with that. I'll always remember that conversation.
That was the
Kiwanuka.
Yeah, exactly.
The 21-0 lead, and then Vince Young's rookie year, and
they came back. You know, those Giants team is interesting, because then they go on, you know, obviously they beat the Giants in the Super Bowl, and that's a team that, you know, I think they were on the precipice of that season. They started 0-2. And they were literally on the precipice of collapsing, you know, just imploding. And Tom Coughlin, to his credit, you know, made some changes and stopped being such of a dictator and opened up to those players. And that made a huge difference. And they went on an incredible run and then beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Tell us what you see now that you got a good look, you know, up close and personal on Tuesday, and now you'll be back at it on Sunday. When you look at this Titans team, you see what?
Well, the thing that surprised me most was what they did defensively, because Josh Allen had looked so good in those first four games, and the Bills' offense had been dialed in, and they really hadn't had a problem with any team so far. You know, and they had beaten a good team in the Rams and a good team in the Raiders, and they did a really good job, you know, playing a lot of zone, making Josh Allen uncomfortable, not knowing where to go with the ball, confusing him with looks post-snap. And, you know, that's something that you hadn't seen yet. And that was, you know, they're doing it without some of their best players defensively. They don't have their best corner. You don't have your best interior defensive lineman. So, you know, I was really impressed. The entire, you know, and people were like, it was funny because, you know, there was a lot of stuff written about, well, he was too effusive in his praise about the Titans. And, you know, what Roger Goodell said to me, I thought was very telling before the game. You know, when he said no one on the Titans willingly broke protocol. You know, that should have said a lot to the rest of the league and the fans around the league, that I don't believe that they're going to have penalties for the Titans. And the fact that they played the game after not practicing for 2 weeks, you know how hard it is, you know, to, as a quarterback, to go out there to not practice, to not throw, and you got receivers, two of your best receivers aren't playing, you got guys coming up from the practice squad that you're throwing to, and, you know, that's a difficult situation. They went out there, and they played almost flawlessly.
Jay Feely is with us from CBS Sports. And, Jay, on that subject, you were the one that really we got the information from for the first time about Roger Goodell's comments. Were you surprised at that? Just because we've gone through it day by day here, just for perspective from your end, right? Every day it looked like the walls were closing in. We were trying to figure out the best information as best we could, but we could only use what we had. But it seemed like the further away you went from Nashville, the perception was, boy, they're going to drop the hammer. So how surprised were you to hear Roger Goodell's comments?
Well, I was somewhat surprised because I just read what everybody else read.
Right.
You know, I didn't have any inside information. I didn't know what was going on inside the facility or, you know, what protocols were broke or not. I think when it comes to this, we have to understand, though, that if you have an outbreak on a team, it's not necessarily that team's fault, you know, and there's going to be times where protocols aren't followed to the law on every team, not just, you know, on that Titans team. I'm talking every team. And that's happened. You know, teams have broken protocols and the NFL knows that. And I think they're not trying necessarily to do it, but it happens. And so, I don't know, this whole thing, you know, you're trying to play a season while dealing with a pandemic that no one has real answers for what the best thing to do is. It's been the whole case in our country since March. You know, it changes daily and weekly and monthly. So, you know, I think teams are just trying to do the best that they can do to handle it, you know, however they can.
I want to ask you one more thing on the kicker front. You were talking about Steven Guskowski's ability to overcome the hurdles he did. I would think that is such a huge ability that a kicker has to have. Because everybody says, hey, you have to have a short memory. You have to worry about the next kick. But there may not be a tougher person that has to go through that than a kicker. How did you try to overcome? Like, we're thinking about the first game. It's not been emphasized well, but that was just a remarkable turnaround that he had. So what about the mental side? How did you practice doing that when you were kicking?
Well, I think it's similar. Kicking and closing in baseball are similar to each other. You know, because a lot of the times you're on the sidelines, you're not involved a lot in the game until they need you the most, and then you have to step in there and you have to a lot of times win a game or lose a game for your team, you know. And as a closer, they come in, they got a lead, you give up a lead, you know, and everyone's looking at you, and that's how the kicking position is. And you know what it's like. You go in on Monday morning after you lost a game, and it's brutal in a team facility, and everybody's down, no one's talking. And when you had a kick to win that game and you missed it, there's nothing worse. Like, you're walking around, yeah, and you're knowing, like, everyone would be happy in here and joyful if I had just made my kick and done my job. And you have to be able to
put that aside. And the biggest thing is you can't let your mind wander. You can't think about the implications of what you're doing while you're doing it. You can't think about your past failures. You can't think about the fact that if I miss this kick, I might lose my job. And if I lose my job, we might have to sell our house. My kids might have to pull them out of school and move them to a different school. Like, those are all realities for a kicker every single day when you know your job's on the line, especially now because teams are so quick to pull the trigger and to bring somebody else in. And you guys know that better than anybody, you know, with what you guys went through last year at the kicking position. So not allowing your mind to wander and think about those things, especially while you're out there on the field, I think that's probably the biggest thing that a kicker needs to be good at.
Jay Feely is with us, analyst for CBS Sports. He'll be a part of the broadcast for the Titans and the Texans on Sunday. So, Jay, with the Houston Texans, we know their schedule was brutal to start with, but clearly things were not going right behind the scenes. We know some of the moves that the GM, Bill O'Brien, made that could have cost head coach Bill O'Brien. But why do you believe that Romeo Crennel is the right guy to try and right this ship right now as the interim?
Well, you know, it certainly was tough when you start with the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Steelers. You know, it can't get much harder than that. You know, and you play games that you had opportunities in, you didn't make plays. And sometimes when you make a change at the top and you make a change at the head coach and somebody else comes in, Romeo is a pretty mild-mannered guy. He's the opposite of Bill O'Brien. You know, and sometimes that's what's needed, you know, and he's able to go in there and he's able to rally the guys and they know that that he cares about them, that he loves them. And I think that's probably what they needed at this moment. So it's a talented team that got rid of one of their best players in DeAndre Hopkins, and I'm sure that had residual impact on that team. You know, making that move from a player's perspective, sitting in that locker room, it's hard to justify. It's hard to look at that and say, hey, that made us better as a team. You know what I mean? And you're sitting there, and anytime you have issues offensively, not being able to go down the field, throw the ball, you're thinking, well, yeah, if we had our best receiver back in this team, that would probably help us a lot. And I think that when you make a move like that as a head coach and as a GM, especially when it's one and the same, it's hard to overcome that. If you don't start out fast, it's really easy for those players in the locker room and the fans outside to point back to that move.
What's been your impressions overall in now 2+ years with Mike Vrabel as the head coach of the Titans? I think we would all agree that how he had his team ready to play Tuesday night, given the circumstances, was a pretty good job on his part. But what have you seen from your perspective?
Well, I've always been impressed with Mike. I've known him for over 20 years. You know, we were on the executive committee with the NFLPA together, and he hasn't changed. You know, who he is, his persona, the way he carries himself, it hasn't changed one bit from when he was a player, when he was on the executive committee, to when he became an assistant coach, to now as a head coach. You know, he's very transparent about who he is. You have to know that as a player, you got to go to work. You better be ready. You better know your responsibilities. You know, he doesn't want any BS. He wants you to go in there. He wants you to do your job. He doesn't want any excuses. You know, and I kind of brought up when I went back in my notes, I love to go back and look at, you know, the last couple of and what players said and how it changes. And we looked at, I looked at what Tannehill said last year in the playoffs. He's talking about Vrabel. You know, I thought it was interesting. You know, he said that he didn't know him really well before he got on the team, and that Mike Vrabel commands the room really well. He lays out expectations and he holds the guys accountable. You know, to me, that's a perfect description of who Mike Vrabel is. There's not a whole lot of fluff. You know, there's not a whole lot of, you know, he's not trying to be anybody's friend. He's not trying to do, but he's going to be very clear about what he wants, what he expects, and what he thinks that you should do. And if you can't do that, he's going to get somebody else.
Now, Jay, before we let you go, I know when Elijah, our producer, was setting this up, he sent you his location. Are you guys hanging out at some point before
I think he's trying to get me to come hang out. You know, I stayed here in Nashville all week. You know, we did the game Tuesday, so there's no reason to fly home and fly back. So I just hung out here and got a little golf in. So I don't know. Maybe he wanted to hang out with me. I'm not sure.
His house is haunted. You don't want to go there. He's got ghosts.
It's more of a tourist attraction than anything at this point.
I did tell him I was a little busy. I'm sorry I couldn't hang out, Elijah.
That's hilarious. Hey, Jay, really appreciate the visit. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, bro. Good to talk to you guys.
All right, that is Jay Feely. He will be on the sidelines for CBS, Titans and Texans, Sunday at noon. We will come back. More on the other side on this Friday. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.